Welcome to the Hawkeye Sidekick Podcast. And you're very welcome back to the Hawkeye Sidekick Hurling Podcast with your host, Mark Kennedy. Joined again this week by Kieran Collins, Rory Walsh. Lads, how are things?
Very good, Mark.
Good, Mark.
We're back to speak. I suppose we'll focus in on the Alliance National Hurling League Division 2A final was played last weekend in Carlow. Leash triumphant there. We'll have a quick review of that. We'll also look at Division 1 final. Watering tie in prospect with Clare and Kilkenny doing battle on Saturday night in Turles. And also we'll look at the under 20 hurling championships that have kicked off in Munster and Leinster and pick out the main storylines there. Suppose first off, lads, we'll congratulate Derry, Mayo and Warwickshire for their 2B, 3A and 3B triumphs. The 2A final last weekend in Carlow was probably the eagly matchup locally between Carlow and Leash. And I suppose Rory, 222 to Leash, 112 to Carlow. Very comprehensive win for Bill Maher's side. Sets them up very well for Joe McDonagh Cup.
Yeah, that's it, exactly. Nobody saw this. Like, people might have tipped Leash, but nobody saw them winning by this much. It was a huge, massive performance. And they've been kind of slowly building since they lost to Carlow in the round robin. They were kind of, seemed to be getting stronger and stronger and putting in big scores in games. And saved their best performance for the final. And I'm sure Carlo would be disappointed. You know, playing it in front of kind of a home crowd and trying to bring fans along with them for the season ahead, going into a Leinster Championship, the best way to do that would have been to get some silverware. But yeah, on the day, they were well beaten. And looked, for me, I thought they looked a small bit heavy-legged. Like, Leash seemed to have a lot more energy and zip about them. And were scoring, you know, a lot freer as well. Like, your Darren Dunphy got 5 points from play. Thomas Keyes won 4, like, including the sideline, a great sideline cut as well. Look, all over the field, they just seemed to win all the one-to-one battles and just had that scoring power up at the other end as well. So, yeah, it's back to the drawing board for Carlo, really, and going into a Leinster Senior Championship. You know, it's very worrying from their point of view.
Yeah, Kieran, get you in there, I suppose. What are the highlights from that performance from Leash?
I think, to be fair to Leash, they set the sod on early, playing into the wind in the first half. And going in at half time, 9-8 up, you know, it's a real good sign of a good performance in a half. And, you know, I suppose Carlo got out early second half and got a goal. And, you know, you could think that maybe Carlo would try to push on, but it wasn't. It was the other way. As that Keyes goal came shortly after it to level it up again. And from there on, Leash just dominated. Carlo just couldn't live with them. They couldn't compete. It was just a real powerful performance from Leash. And I suppose if you look back, this is the second year in a row this has happened where the team who stormed the group stage in Kildare last year, you know, lose out in the final. And you know, we've seen what happened to Kildare after that. You know, it was a downward spiral from there. You know, as Rory said, it would have been the best way forward for Carlo was to secure silverware and to go into the Leinster Championship, which is going to be a hard and, you know, 5 or 6 game campaign. It's going to be really hard for them. And, you know, I'm sure confidence will be low. Not just the defeat, but I suppose it's more sort of the manner of the defeat. You know, they were the second best every ball. And, you know, to be fair to Leash, they have been building, I think Rory hit the nail on the head. They have been building really well. They've been impressive in games since that first Carlow game. That was round 2, I think. What way teams are, and, you know, I suppose with injuries and players coming back in, and, you know, they have been building. And, you know, I suppose, look, this Leash team are, I would consider them a Division 1 team and have been for the last couple of years. So it's probably, you know, possibly shouldn't be down at this level. But, you know, I think for themselves, it would be a very good league. Because, you know, after going down last year, to come back up, you know, and to secure 1B for next year, you know, that obviously was the target at the start of the year. And obviously to get some silverware as well is a cherry on top. But this is a good performance for Leash going into that first round of Joe McDonagh against, you know, who is probably the favourite in Offaly, you know, so that's going to be, it'll really stand to them. And, you know, that the 3 weeks, or they would have had a 3-week turnaround to it, would buy the confidence.
Yeah, Rory, get you in there. Joe McDonagh has certainly got very interesting with this Leash performance. I mean, we've Offaly, we've Westmead, we've Leash there. I mean, they're three kind of front runners, I would say, from Joe McDonagh. Now, I suppose Mead down, Kerry would probably disagree with me on that, but I mean, this is looking to be quite a fantastic championship again this year.
I think what you said there is kind of right. It looks like, for the minute, it looks like you're going to have maybe two groups of three in there. You're going to have Leash, Offaly, Westmead, who the three of them will really believe they can win the Joe McDonagh. And then maybe, I know Kerry had been really unlucky in previous years, but they just seem this year to, with turnover of players, just have taken a step back. Also with Meath as well, especially with the change of manager, Sergio Bulfin, leaving there since the league campaign finished, there's going to be a bit of upheaval there, you'd imagine. And Down, who've performed well during the league, but when it came to it at the end, they were, you know, they were 10 points off Laois in that last game. So you'd have to imagine like that it's going to be, you know, the three of them maybe battling out to stay in Joe McDonagh and the top three teams. Each one of them will really believe they'll have a chance. And I suppose earlier in the year, people were thinking Offaly, you know, that it was Offaly's to lose in a way. But with the way Westmeath performed in Division 1 and the way Laois have just been improving and improving and getting stronger, and they'll be full of belief going in. Offaly will not have it their own way here. It's going to be a, you know, a right battle, and you know, it's kind of a mouth-watering prospect in one way for those counties, because each one of those counties really needs to make the step up over the next couple of years, and they'll have a great opportunity this year. And in their own way, each of them will be confident and be pointing out their strengths. Just maybe Offaly, with a lot of their players under 20 and being heavily involved in under 20 campaign, like they had a great win up in Parnell Park. With their under-20s, you can imagine them going deep into the All-Ireland under-20 campaign. And you wonder, will that affect the senior team? Because there is a, you know, a big reliance there, maybe, and not even maybe to start, but from the bench. So that could be a factor for Offaly, which maybe, you know, Westmeath and Laois wouldn't seem to have, you know, more seasoned sides. Yeah, so that could be a factor maybe that might go against Offaly, as you know, it is an arduous campaign. But yeah, it's set up to be a great Joe McDonagh.
That first game is crucial, isn't it, for both teams, for Laois and Offaly? You know, like, I suppose I haven't seen betting on it, but I imagine they're probably the top two teams in the betting. Holy Westmeath not too far behind them. And, you know, I think Offaly will be really, you know, they'll be really confident. They really fancy themselves in this Joe McDonagh. I think last year they probably let it slip. I think they were a heavy, you know, hot favourites going into that Joe McDonagh final last year. You know, it was a cracking game, but, you know, I think this year, you'd imagine that extra bit of motivation would be there. But I think Laois are, you know, not just going to die away. And I think that first game is huge, and that'll determine a lot on how this joint kind of pans out.
Yeah, Rory, before we leave, Carlo, they had an impressive regular season run, have had a disappointing last two games. The Kildare game we probably may have written off because we were already in the final. But, I mean, heading into Leinster Senior Hurling Championship here, there's probably grounds for concern here, is there, for Carlo, given that second half performance, only scoring 1-3. Worrying signs here.
Yeah, and I think Kieran pointed out earlier near the strength of the Carlo half forward line, but they really need to get some inside scorers, because, you know, when it comes down to it in a match, like, you will get a half back line that will, you know, in a game nullify the half forward line as such, and you need scorers, you need that threat inside. And we know last year in the actual final against Offaly, I think it was Boland inside who caught two or three great balls, scored 1-2, 1-3. But that doesn't seem to be happening, especially there against Laois. They had no real threat inside. And I think when it comes to it, like, that's what Carlo might have to maybe rejig their team slightly and just, you know, straighten that full forward line a bit if they can, because it will kind of catch them out, I think. So, yeah, it is strange, because halfway through the league, you'd have been thinking Carlo were the, you know, everything was going right for them, and just maybe the wheels seem to have come off the wagon slightly. And look, there is time for them to kind of readjust things, and it may not be the worst thing in the world for them either. But looking at Leinster Championship, it's, you know, it's going to be a tough order for them. Like, you're kind of looking, saying, where will they get a win? You've Antrim now kind of being rejuvenated with players coming back that hadn't played during the league. And yeah, Carlo, it's going to be a tough one for them.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose congratulations to Laois anyway. You know, 9 different scores, 2-16 from play. You know, superb performance from Laois. And as for Carlo, you know, they'll have to refocus fairly quickly given that fixture list, particularly in Leinster, starting out with not an easy game in Pearse Stadium against Galway on the 21st of April. I suppose, guys, we'll leave it there for the 2A campaign. We'll also have a comprehensive review of the Joe McDonagh Cup on the kickoff in a few weeks' time. I suppose, guys, we can focus in on the Allianz Hurling League Division 1 final. No, we weren't on last week, but I mean, Clare and Kilkenny here, Rory, it's a pretty tantalising final here in store in Turles on Saturday.
Yeah, I think as well what makes it is the fact that neither team will come across each other in the early stages of the championship and may not come across each other at all in the championship. So, you know, there'd be no hint of holding things back, like both teams can kind of have a right cut at each other. clear as we know, a county that we don't have much silverware. So when you get to a national final, like you have to go and try and win it. And as we know, Kilkenny want to win every single game they play. So it does shape up nicely. And the fact these teams have come together, and there probably is from players' point of view, a rivalry has developed and as such, which Kilkenny have kind of had the upper hand on. Like it just makes for an intriguing kind of encounter. And you just hope that the weather, storm forecast on Saturday, that the weather doesn't spoil things. It seems maybe everyone was complaining about the late throw-in when it was first fixed at 7:15, but it might work out for the better because apparently the storm will have gone through by then. So mightn't impact the game as badly as we thought. But just watching the minor game tonight there from Thurles, and even though the pitch looked well, it did look a bit heavy and a lot of rocks forming, and you're just wondering maybe post-storm will it have maybe a detrimental effect in the game. Might make it a lot more physical in one way, so might enhance the game in one way. But look, I suppose when we think of league finals, we often think of, you know, bright sunny days and, you know, a ball hopping off the ground. It's going to be a different type of league final.
Yeah, Kieran, get you in there. I suppose your initial thoughts on Clare and Kilkenny. I mean, two 1A teams getting into final, two very impressive semi-final performances by the two sides. Looks like a great final in prospect.
Yeah, I've been thinking about it enough this week, and like it's very hard to pick a winner out. You know, like you can make claims for both teams, and even I think in the betting, like they're both even money. So I think even the bookmakers can't split them. I think for Kilkenny, they go about their business in every league campaign, and like you know, this is their second final in a row. Obviously, lost to Limerick last year, but they never seem to pull away from it. Like there was a lot of talk of teams pulling handbrakes, and you know, over the years, but Kilkenny just play what's in front of them every game, and I suppose they have to be commended on that in a way. I do think they have the easier route. Obviously, you know, no disrespect to Antrim, but they're, you know, 2 weeks' time they're playing Antrim, where Clare are going to play Limerick, and I think that has to be in the back of the mind of the management of Clare and probably players alike. You know, it's been documented well over the last couple of years that 2 week turnaround is a short turnaround. You know, if you win, obviously you're going in with confidence, but you know, if you lose and you've things to work on and training, it's a very short window to try and pick yourself back up again for another arduous campaign. So there's a couple of ways you could look at it. But I think testament to Clare, they've been impressive this league campaign. I suppose in years gone by, they've kind of, you know, the take or leave it kind of attitude from them. You know, they play the game to what they play, and you know, I suppose they use it to experiment with players. But this year, I think they've just, you know, they've took it on head on. They've looked at, they haven't had it their own way either. Like they've, you know, a lot of main players not there, like Tony Kelly being one of them, Shane O'Donnell, who obviously we don't see in league campaigns most years. You know, Ryan Taylor, Dave McInerney, you know, huge players for Clare, and I suppose. For their own benefit, like, and is they're having to build up a panel, as was maybe having these players missing is a good thing for the long road. Like this, we've got to see players like, you know, Conor Lean, Sean Rind, who I've been really impressed with, you know, Keith Smith, you know, these, you know, it's your strength in that panel. You know, we all talk with the round robin is a real test in an arduous 5-6 weeks, and you need a panel. You know, I think maybe Clare didn't have that in the last year or two. Not to the same depth of what other teams might have had, and look, it's different gravy, the championship, and I suppose time will tell whether these lads can set up the championship pace. But you know, all signs are pointing that they can. Regarding this weekend, like as Rory said, you're in a national final, you have to go for it. But I just do think there will be this little bird in the back of their head, you know, just reminding them that there is a Munster campaign kicking off against 2 weeks' time, you know, and against the All Ireland champion. So it gets no harder than that.
Yeah, Rory, get you in there, I suppose, from a Clare perspective, being a Clare man, being a great league, unbeaten in the league, and I mean, you know, squad leadership has really come to the fore.
Yeah, and I don't think really Lohan had the option this year of, you know, trying for one game and maybe relaxing another match, because he had to kind of play the hand he was dealt with, and that was try out players that hadn't played senior for Clare yet, and because of that, each one of these players was chomping at the bit and trying to impress, so you ended up with Clare looking to win each game because of the personnel he had were you know, mad to stake a claim for a jersey. And a few lads have put their hand up. One thing, I suppose, over the last 10 years and such, like Clare have had strength and depth in the forward line and good competition for places there. You likes of John, Peter Duggan not even claiming a place and coming in off the bench in games, and David Reedy and these lads, like, you know, Ian Galvin, there was a bit of a turnaround there. But in the back line, like, we were an injury or two, as we saw, especially 2 years ago with John Hanlon getting injured, an injury or two in the back line, and even last year, Conor Cleary, it was derailing everything. So now there seems to be a bit more strength in the back line. Again, like you wouldn't want to ship too many injuries there, but like as we said, we're without David McInerney there for a lot of the league. And you had Conor Lean, he was able to rest Rory Hayes for a lot of games as well. Conor Lean has shown up. Keane Galvin, I thought, did quite well in the league semi-final. He'd been playing Fitzgibbon for UL for the last couple of years from Clarecastle. He was an excellent minor and had a very bad knee injury, did his cruciate at about age 18, 19. And you know, it's taken him a while to come back, as it would, but he seems to be really putting his hand up as well. Yeah, look, I'm sure that's what really has delighted Lohan, I think, is that he now has a bit more strength and depth in the back line as well. Kilkenny too have there were, I think halfway through the league we were speaking about the questions Kilkenny would have, and Lean, especially looking at his half back line, he seems maybe to have found an answer against Limerick, and it just gives him another opportunity to reinforce maybe what he saw against Limerick, and you know, so he can nail down those central positions, because you know, when it comes to it, like, you need to have your spine of your team have to be sure of themselves, and that wasn't the case with Kilkenny. Especially in the back line. Like, I know Hugh Lawler has three jersey made his own, but not knowing who your six was going into championship was, you know, it was very unsettling. So I think having the league final will suit Ling that way. And the fact, you know, that it's Clare, and he knows that, you know, you're going to get a certain level of performance from Clare, that if centre-back can go well, that day between, like, he's looked at Richie Reid, Mikey Carey, Deegan has come back in there as well, so... and it looked the last day like Deegan played a bit deeper than normal against Limerick and seemed to go well there. So look, it'll just give him another chance to, you know, be a bit more sure if his team going into championship, because probably won't learn a lot against Antrim. Like, his chance to learn will be in the league final.
I mean, from a Kilkenny perspective, we've said here repeatedly, don't do panic. There have been some inconsistent performances at the start of the league. I'm thinking about the Offaly opening half. There was also the drop points against Wexford, but they have gradually improved. And I mean, that Limerick performance in the semi-final really kind of issued a kind of statement of intent from Kilkenny. And I'm just wondering, have Kilkenny just found their spine of their team, like in Owen Murphy, Hugh Lawler, Paddy Deegan, Malloy, Kenny in midfield, Donnelly and Reid in the full forward line? I mean, it looked fairly ominous for Limerick in the semi-final. It looks like a good formation there.
Yeah, I think you could make excuses for Kilkenny earlier rounds, like you're starting into a league campaign and you're missing players, and I suppose it's only the last two games they've played that they've really, you know, got close to full starting 15, and still without, I'm not sure on the injury update on Mikey Butler and Carey, without them as well last week. So look, Kilkenny, we've talked about it over and over, the fighting attitude they have, and you know, that willingness to want to win every game they play, and you know, every game you play them, and especially in a final, they're not going to be a walkover. You know, up front, I suppose TJ, you know, really Lauren at the last day. Look, I think Limerick made it easy for him in a way, like in many situations where we left with a 1-1 inside, and TJ being the one is very hard to stop in them situations. You know, I think Owen Cody, who I was a little bit concerned of midway through the league campaign, is probably in the last game or two has, you know, showed signs of being back to himself. And, you know, Mullen had a really good campaign, especially earlier on. While league games are judged, there is a building phase, a ladder phase in the league, and teams are building towards championship pace. And, you know, we're 2 weeks away from championship once this weekend rolls in, you know, and this game, like, it'll be championship or very, very close to championship pace. And as Rory said, it is a good test for teams to try out, you know, the likes of back units and see how they fare out. And you know, I suppose if your team does well in a league final, you go into your round robin, your Leinster or Munster round robin with confidence. And you know, that's why I think if you're there, you have to go and win it. You have to just try your best and try everything to win it. But look, for Kilkenny, they're always going to be there thereabouts.
Even Kilkenny there, the likes of Owen Cody, Adrian Mullen, have been pretty instrumental in this league run. I mean, they've combined for 41 points in total. I mean, is that kind of where Clare nullify Kilkenny on Saturday night? They can keep these two guys quiet. Maybe there's a good opportunity that they could be securing a first league title since 2016.
Yeah, and in particular, both of them were pretty quiet in the game in Ennis. It was probably the one game where they were, you know, both quiet in the same match. Against Limerick, I thought the aerial threat they had inside with TJ drifting in around to the edge of the square and Owen Cody caused havoc inside. And it's something, I suppose, Clare will have to get their matchups right there with Conor Cleary, you know, picking up the TJ when he comes in around the edge of the square, because you know you don't want a matchup maybe with TJ, one of the smaller lads like Adam Hogan. Maybe it might be a bit of a mismatch in the air there. So that's something Clare have to be wary of, because I think that caused a bit of trouble for Limerick, the way he drifted in from the half forward line, and suddenly there was a bit of panic at who'd pick him up. And kind of, I suppose Aaron Costello was targeted a couple of times on high balls, and you know, a couple of goals came off it. So look, it is something that Clare, I'm sure, would be aware of, and just have to get that right and keep an eye on it, because yeah, that's what caused most of the trouble for Limerick, just that quick high ball inside. I know people talk about patterns of play, and but like sometimes just that route one can cause panic, especially if you don't deal with it.
Kieran, just in terms of Clare, how did they win this match on Saturday?
I think for Clare, I think they'll continue what they've been doing. You know, they have been really impressive in the league. You know, I suppose it remains to see. We'll know fairly soon. But, you know, with the likes of Tony Kelly, Shane O'Donnell, you know, I know Taylor is definitely going to miss the first game or two of championship. But, you know, will Kelly get game time? I'm sure Lohan will want to get some game time into these lads' legs and for a championship. You know, Clare, I think, look, the certain players at Clare have been really impressive. We've named the younger guys, but I suppose the older guys that have been there, I think David Fitzgerald has been immense, you know, in this league. If there was a player of the year for the league, like, he'd be definitely shortlist, you know, for us. Really impressive, you know, probably scoring, probably averaging 4 or 5 points a game, you know, and teams have struggled to deal with him. And I think he'd be instrumental. And for Clare, if they are to go and beat Kilkenny, if he gets the ball and gets on a run of steam up, like, he's very, very hard to stop. You know, he'd be a real... I'm sure Kilkenny will be, you know, maybe the first Clare player they're going to target and first player they're going to name and train this week to pick up. You know, I suppose other players inside, I suppose Mark Rogers has continued on from last year. I think he's been, you know, maybe not shooting the lights out, but, you know, he is, I suppose, consistent in what he does in there. Look, and I suppose if to get the likes of Tony Kelly back in, you know, it's even for the support as well, you know, just to see him coming back on the field, I'm sure that's going to give him a huge boost of confidence. So I this game is so hard to call. You know, I suppose a lot of it will depend on team lineups. I suppose you are expecting as close to full 15 as can. But, you know, will Lohan stick with these younger guys too? There's a narrative there, like, they've got him here. So will he stick with the likes of Conor Lean and Keith Smith inside Conor Ford and give them the chance, you know, to play in a national final? I suppose when the teams are named, it'll spell out a lot. But, you know, I suppose as TJ Ryan said before, so like the deaf dog, it's hard to call. And I think the 8-1 and the draw, I think, could be a great bet come, you know, 9 o'clock Saturday evening.
Rory, get you in there as well, just from a Clare perspective, who are the key guys here that are going to have to step up here to get this league win?
Yeah, well, one guy, I suppose, who's played well during the league, and I probably won't start, Sean Ring, because he's been named for the Clare under 20s tomorrow night, and that's 24 hours to, you know, before the big one. So he's playing against Limerick in the under 20 match tomorrow night. Yeah, maybe Conor Lee might get a start again. He's done enough to hold on to his jersey, I suppose, especially had a good semi-final. But, like, I think this game has worked out well in the fact that you have Shane O'Donnell and Kelly, who Lohan has said in an interview after the semi-final that both of them will be available for selection for the final. Now, whether there's a full 70 minutes in Kelly coming off, you know, ankle operation earlier this year is another thing. But, like, Shane O'Donnell, remember, isn't injured. He was just rested. So I'm sure I think he'll start. And an interesting thing actually during the league was Mark Rogers played a lot of the league at half forward. And you're just wondering, is last year, like, at times I often felt Clare didn't really utilise putting O'Donnell in around the edge of the square. Like, we know what a goal threat he is. And I know he does a fierce amount of work in half forward line, but just to switch in and out every now and again, maybe that's something Clare are looking at, with being able to switch him in and out with Rogers from time to time. And offer, you know, a different threat inside. So, yeah, I'd be surprised now Shane O'Donnell doesn't play a full game. Tony Kelly's probably another question. You just don't know, you know, where he is coming back. And I suppose medical team will have a say there and what type of game he plays. But I reckon we'll definitely see both of them at some stage. Yeah, it's I agree what Kieran said. Like, Clare have got to the league final kind of with the way they've been playing and style they've been playing. Like, they're not going to tear up the game plan too much. Might be a few different personnel in there, and again, David McInerney will be looking at getting game time as well. So I think it works out very well with where Clare are and with lads coming off injuries, and they do have this league final, because you know, it gets them championship what are like championship minutes, let's say. And even the new lads there, the likes of Keith Smith and them, if they are thrown in Munster championship, like having the league final, which is very close to a championship game under their belt, you know, things like a lot of the nerves and stuff, you know, it won't be as daunting, let's say, to be thrown into a Munster championship game if you've gone out in the league final too. So Yeah, look, it's a really hard one to call it. I agree. And you just kind of wonder as well, like things like, I'm sure Clare will be warned, like, don't get a red card here, you know, and be suspended for the Limerick game. And will there be, I'm not saying there'll be a holding back, but at the back of their mind, will they be conscious of 2 weeks' time, April 21st, is still the bigger game? And I know, like, they will be going out to win the trophy, but yeah, that'll have to be playing on their mind at some stages in the game. But yeah, look, when you're out there and the ball is thrown in, it's very hard not to, like, focus on what's in front of you. So yeah, it's going to be a close one. I just got to maybe, like, Clare probably have been a tiny bit more consistent until Kenny joined the league, have been unbeaten through it, and I think they might just see it out.
Kieran, who are you calling for Saturday?
It's so hard. I said I've been over and back all week. I'm just going to give it to Kenny. I agree Clare have been the better team in the league, but I just think that air doubt with 2 weeks' time playing Limerick, that was the first date in the calendar that was circled when the fixtures were announced, no doubt. You know, at home, All-Ireland champions coming, you know, especially after the start that Clare got last year, losing the Tipperary first round. Do not want to have that pressure on them going into game two. You know, I just think, you know, obviously Kilkenny have that little bit of a fallback playing Antrim first game. Just based on that, I think Lowen probably will stick with some of the younger brigade. You know, he's got him there, and why not stick with him? But just, I do think there will be a niggle in the back of the mind, you know, about, you know, Cusick Park, 21st of April against Limerick. And for that reason, I'm just going to give it to Kilkenny, but just by the smallest margins.
Yeah, hopefully the weather doesn't impact this game anyway. Hopefully Storm Kathleen does one and moves up the Atlantic Coast pretty sharpish on Saturday, because, look, these are two quality sides. Just interested in terms of Johnny Murphy officiating as well. I think hopefully goes well for him in the final as well. Yeah, from my perspective, I think Clare have been the most consistent team in the league. So Kilkenny have impressed an awful lot for me, particularly against that Limerick performance. The work rate in the middle third I thought was superb, and the way they were able to kind of score goals at vital times. But look, I'm going to go for Clare here. I think the momentum that they could build here on a league final win heading into Cusick Park and Limerick in 2 weeks, I think that's kind of a carrot there that needs to be kind of grabbed from a Clare perspective. So I'll go with Clare. Guys, we'll kind of move on. Maybe we'll look at the Provincial Under 20 Championships that kicked off last weekend. I suppose, Rory, Kieran, I suppose, Rory, we'll start with you first in terms of Munster, Leinster. What's kind of caught your eye so far?
Yeah, well, in Munster, it kicks off tomorrow night with Clare and Limerick in Six Mile Bridge under a floodlight. So this is a Clare team that at minor level, it was a knockout championship with COVID, got beaten close to 40 points by Cork. Now it's a freakish Cork team, as we know. They went on, and I don't think anybody got within 10 points of them in the championship. But that defeat and the alarm bells ringing through Clare, and in fairness, things were sorted out and there was a response to it. And as we know, like, they've won the All-Ireland Minor last year, got the semi-final the year before that, and got the Munster Under 20 final. So, you know, there has been a good response. Like, you just wonder, a lot of this Clare team that are going out tomorrow night, a lot of them are on the rage again the year after. And I know when it gets to under 20, it's not as big a deal to be playing a year above your age compared to minor, for example. But, like, I suppose you do have Sean Rinn there, centre forward, he's named. Captain Ronan O'Connor from Fecal, same club as Adam Hogan. From a very talented family. His sister was Rosa Clare last year, and he was captain of the Tulla Harty team as well, played at that team with Adam Hogan. So he'll give him a bit of experience midfield. And, like, a few lads from last year's minor team straight in there, like you, James Hegarty is in at six after playing six for Clare. And remember, minor is under 17, so these boys have another 3 years this year and two more years. Like, Ronan Keane was full back in the minors and a really impressive player now from Killinena. He's in a cornerback. Gunning is out midfield, like, so Clare will be looking to Jack O'Neill in the full forward line as well, from Clooney and Niall O'Farrell, who had been in with Ardskull there as well over the last few years from Broadford. But as I said, they're a young team. The home advantage will you know, give them a good chance. And the fact that Limerick and a lot of the boys would have been in Ardskull together as well, they'd know each other fierce well. So, yeah, with Limerick, you have Shane O'Brien still under 20, who will be a serious threat at that level. Very close to starting the Limerick seniors this year, I'd say, as well. The way things are going, I know he got a red card up in Galway, but he'll be back for selection and with Peter Casey suspended for the first round. I'm sure Shane O'Brien will come into John Kiley's thoughts there, but he'll need a big game tomorrow night, just, you know, to put his hand up again for the senior team. Darry Langdon, Mona Lean, is named as six, and he's been also on the Limerick senior panel and has been on the bench room a few times this year during the league. So, you know, Limerick probably be fancied for this tomorrow. And yeah, it's hard to see Clare. Maybe you're just hoping from Clare point of view that they're really competitive this year in the round robin, and that maybe that result come back 3 years ago was a blip. And it'll help the younger lads coming through over the next few years if they are competitive this year. Yeah, from a Clare point of view as well, you're just kind of hoping Sean Rain doesn't pick up a knock, because he's a guy who probably will feature in the round robin for Clare in the Munster Championship, all going well.
Yeah, Kieran, get you in there. Six Mile Bridge tomorrow night. Hopefully the weather doesn't affect this fixture, but I mean, pretty exciting local derby to kick things off here for Clare and Limerick.
Absolutely, yeah. And I suppose we've got to, maybe in years gone by, we wouldn't get to see much of these underage games, but I suppose with all the streaming services that are there now, you know, they're nearly all accessible. Some great games on offer. I suppose that Clare team, you know, I suppose Rory pointed out, they were, you know, that they've come a long way. Clare hurling has come an awful long way in the last couple of years, and I suppose we've seen that underage. And I suppose we're seeing these young players stepping into the senior panels now. You know, I suppose the winning the minor and All-Ireland last year and Munster, like, you know, there's going to be, I suppose, a lot of younger players, I suppose, for Clare. I think it'll be a close game. You know, neighbours, I suppose, anything can happen. I suppose these days, the ground is so heavy, like, they're not the games we'll be associated with, I suppose, under 20 and the championship games. Like, we're expecting good ground, but unfortunately, we're not getting it at the minute. So, I think all to play for there. I think the other game is it's Cork and Waterford, and I suppose, yeah. You know, Waterford, you know, last took another heavy defeat to Clare tonight in the minors, and you know, that's what we've highlighted the last couple of years, that Waterford hurling as a whole is struggling, but underage especially, you know, losing, was it 22-13, I think it's up, you know, not in the game at all really. And you know, I suppose you'd fear for Waterford tomorrow night against Cork, this Cork team. I suppose we've already mentioned how strong they are, and you know, I suppose we've seen how strong Cork have been underage the last couple of years. But, you know, you'd probably fear for them, I think, tomorrow night. I think looking at Leinster last weekend, kicked off, was two games really of note. The first one would be Offaly against Dublin. Just before the game, I would have thought Offaly would have been, you know, winning this easily. But, the narrowest of margins, you know, they were 197 points up at half time. It was an Adam Screeny goal. And they were 8 points up in the 48th minute. You know, you're thinking game over. But Dublin came with a. This was two goals from Ollie Gaffney and David Purcell and reduced the gap. And they had a back level only for a late point from Offaly, Barry Egan, to get the win for them. So I'm sure, you know, I suppose Dublin, I suppose wouldn't be a team you talk about underage. I suppose Dermot O'Dooling is one of them players who we've seen on the Dublin senior team who's playing with the 20s as well. So I suppose that's a good result for Dublin in a way, you know, to be thereabouts. You know, this Offaly team, I suppose, is highly respected, I suppose, on what they've done in the last couple of years. And then the other game, which was a complete mismatch, was Kilkenny Wexford. Kilkenny were good and bad in certain other ways. Like, they had 18 wides in the game. They scored four goals, scored 421. They possibly could have scored seven or eight goals. And that would be, you know, just it shows how strong they were. They really won the battles all over. You know, Marty Murphy scoring 2-3, you know, really good return. Harry Shine had 8 points for them from frees. You know, just all over the field, they had Kilkenny or had Wexford, you know. I suppose the one notable performance, and I think it's a name we're going to hear a lot going into the future. He's just up for minor this year, Sean Rowley. You know, he's looked really, really impressive, scored 1-2 from his field, you know, really good goal, to gone two Kilkenny men. He's in my local club here, Oigate, he's, you know, really impressive, and I suppose Oigate are looking forward to having playing him senior hurling this year. He wasn't eligible to play last year because he was a minor, which is one of these stupid rules I'm expert, but you know, this year, you know, I've seen him a couple of times, and he's really, really impressive, and I think he's one for the future. And you know, he still has two more years left in this age group, like, in to be making an impression on an age group, you know, at 18 years of age, I think is a sign of how good a hurler he can be. You know, a tough day for Wexford against Kilkenny, and I suppose the only way it can go is up. But you know, Kilkenny, I suppose, in years gone by, you wouldn't really note him as being strong underage teams, but time will tell how good that Kilkenny team is when they face other tests on the line.
Yeah, Rory, get you in there. I think Kilkenny certainly laid out the marker last weekend with that 421 scoreline. And I mean, like St. Kieran's College, the conveyor belt there, coming to the fore, I suppose they're a team to really be looking at going into round two of the Tier 1 Championship.
Yeah, they definitely set the marker down in week one. And I agree with Kieran, like, Offaly are probably, you know, being in the Ireland final last year with most of the team there again this year, they're probably, you know, highly touted for it. But I'd say Leo O'Connor has had a disruptive enough lead up to it between with the seniors, because one game, I think it was the Cork match, they played 9 or 10 under 20s featured that day. And that's not ideal, like, when you're going into a championship where other counties wouldn't have that. Like, Kilkenny probably have their whole, more or less their whole squad there to for every training, and don't have to worry about lads going out in senior, and probably, you know, isn't ideal. And as the championship goes on, we'll probably see them get stronger. But I just thought, like, throwing away an 8-point lead in Dublin, like, actually missed chances at the end when, I think when it was level first of all, or sorry, when they were a point down, they missed a couple of easy scores to level before it did level, let's say, and it came back to bite them because, and I suppose it shows composure from Offaly that they didn't panic after throwing away that lead and worked that last score for Egan. And look, coming out of Parnell Park, I suppose, at under 20, a way to win on the board, like, because I think they have Galway next coming up, and it keeps them in the campaign, especially because like Dublin might take a scalp off one of the other teams in the group as well, you know, because they were very competitive and definitely finished the game stronger. So from Dublin point of view, I'm sure management will be probably happier with maybe the team that finished the game rather than the lads that started. They probably learned a bit more. I know you want to have all these things learned before round one, but in a round robin campaign, you know, if you can learn a lot from the first match and be stronger for from then on, it gives you a chance of staying in it and qualifying.
Yeah, absolutely. Guys, I suppose going back to the Munster Under 20 Hurling Championship, Rory, get your predictions here. Limerick versus Clare and Six Mile Bridge, Waterford versus Cork, who are you tipping here?
Like, as we mentioned, this is the Cork team that basically won last year's Under 20. They have a load of them still underage, walked this minor 3 years ago, and you couldn't but see Cork win tomorrow night. And already, I think they're 1-6 on for this game. And you know, in a two-horse race in the Munster Championship, it's rare you ever see those odds, and it is alarm bells for Waterford underage. They are tonight, as Kieran alluded to, they're like, and it wasn't just, you know, they lost by 9 points, but it was like 22 points to 13 or something. You know, it was a big defeat in terms of scores, and it's just a worry. And like, you've Ballygunner going from strength to strength, but overall, Waterford county teams are struggling, but yeah, so you'd have to go with Cork there. And Clare Limerick won. Limerick probably gave Cork that their best game in that championship 3 years ago. And I know you're going back 3 years, but with the likes of Shane O'Brien there and Langdon and having that bit of experience from the Limerick seniors going through the team, they also have Vince Harrington, who won a Fitzgibbon at Mary Eye as well from the Pearshig. So they probably look to have the more experienced team there. So you'd give Limerick the nod at all, you know, home advantage and a wet night in Six Mile Bridge, it'll probably be more of a leveller. And I'm sure Clare are just hoping to be ultra competitive here. Terence Fahey as well, who said, you know, done really well actually over the last few years, between the Tullaharty team and Clare in the 20s for the last few years. And yeah, so he's a good man to have over them. And I'm sure he won't be expecting them to go in and lie down tomorrow. He'll want to see Clare get a win on the board, especially a home game. But yeah, you'd have to just kind of give Limerick the nod. So Limerick and Cork.
Cool. Kieran, then on Saturday, the Under 20 Hurling Championship Tier 1 Round 2. I think, Rory, you had mentioned it, Offaly entertain Galway. Galway enter into the Leinster Championship this weekend in Glenys O'Connor Park. And then Kilkenny travel to O'More Park in Port Laois to face Laois. So, I suppose, who are we tipping here on these Round 2 games?
That Laois team was, you know, wasn't too bad. The minor team a couple of years ago, didn't they face Offaly, Roy? Was it in the?
They did, yeah. Huge crowd came to it. I think that's next year's team, but they have a lot of them.
A lot of them there, yeah.
They Clare in Ennis in the Ireland quarter final, and it was a very close game. Clare pulled away near the end, just by 3 points, I think, for a finish. So yeah, no, they are a good group.
Yeah, I think, you know, just I suppose on history, you're going to tip Kilkenny, you know. And in the other game, Galway Offaly, which would probably be more, you know, more competitive. I think Galway, you know, look, they've producing minor hurlers every year, and you know, they step up to the under 20 grade. I know the under 20 management is basically the minor management from last year, give or take a few. I think they're trying to probably maybe working on a younger team, and maybe you're not going to see the best of that team this year. Look, Offaly, I suppose we're lucky in a way last week to get the win at a late point. I suppose without seeing too much of the teams of late, I'm just going to probably give it to Offaly, just because there's a bit of expectation on them this year. You know that we've all known what they've done the last couple of years, and same group of lads. So I'm going to say Offaly and Kilkenny.
And I suppose let's kind of review the minor hurling championship results tonight. We're recording this on Thursday night. Tipperary defeating Cork 119-212, and as Rory, you've alluded to here, Clare defeating Waterford by 22-13. I know Waterford had a bright enough early third quarter spell, but Clare kind of absorbed that pressure and ran away convincing winners. I suppose, Rory, you watched the Tipperary Cork game. What really impressed you on this Tipperary performance?
Yeah, Tipperary started really well. I went up 8 points after about 15 minutes, and the full forward line had all scored from play within, you know, 5 minutes. And fierce kind of real tip style forwards, like very sharp inside. And Cork, a couple of goals for Cork kind of brought them right back in the game. Just thought Cork were, you know, they were playing second best most of the game. I know they fought back and had it back to 2 points at one stage, but you didn't really, you know, see anything but Tipperary kind of coming through in the end. In fact, for Tipperary as well, major fact in the game, a substitute Aaron Cagney came on from Clamel, and he scored 3 points in that second half when Cork were coming at them, you know. But full forward line to begin with, you had Stephen Tobin full forward, Owen Dugan and Killy Minogue, and they were, you know, they were very impressive, like, to begin with. And just it's very important, I think, at minor level that you do have someone kind of off the bench like Cagney did. Interestingly enough, Liam Cahill's young lad, Jack Cahill, came on as well. So, yeah, I'm sure he was an interested spectator for once rather than being on the sideline himself. And for Cork as well, like, they had Mark O'Brien, centre-forward, was probably the most impressive player. Interestingly enough, you mentioned Clare there, Mark O'Brien from Orscoglish is still minor this year, who was probably the star forward for the Clare Minors last year. So it could be a Munster Championship. It could be the battle of the Mark O'Briens when you get there. So when Clare and me, Cork. But yeah, look, it was an entertaining game. As I mentioned, the Thurles pitch was a bit heavy, which would be interesting come Saturday. It looked very well, but as the ball looked a bit slow on it, and good few rocks in it. But Tipperary looked like a very good minor team and set their stall out in game one. Cork will probably get stronger, especially like when they're down at home. But yeah, and I'm sure Clare delighted like to get off with a win. After winning that Ireland minor last year, most of that team, almost all that team actually have moved on, apart from Mark O'Brien, as I mentioned. You know, it's good to kind of follow up a strong team. You know, you don't just want a one-off team that kind of comes through. You want to kind of follow it up maybe with another team coming a year or two later, and hopefully that's the case for them.
I think there was three from last year, still three survivors, I think, went from last year's team. Yeah. And I look, I suppose, a good win, you know, a 9-point win against Waterford, but I suppose you only know in the weeks to come how good of a team they are, because, you know, Waterford hurling, I think, is in an awful place. But look, Clare, they're 10 different scorers, and I think they just dominated Waterford's bookouts, especially in the second half. You know, Mark O'Brien is hit with 8 points, you know, so I think there'll be some interesting ties in the weeks to come, definitely.
One way as well, like, it's just a pity that the games are on now, especially for the underage teams, because they're not always getting to play, I know, in simple stadiums. And these, as we alluded to, the game tomorrow night is in Six Mile Bridge. Not to say anything bad, but like, like before, when we saw these minors under 20 games, they were middle of the summer, you know, in quick hurling. Now, like, it's in a way, it almost devalues the competition having it so early in the year with the weather so bad. And I know we don't always get such bad weather, but even like very early April to be playing championship and lads finish like by first week of May. And like the Ireland minor final last year was in June, bank holiday weekend. So I know they're back to their clubs, but I think at this level, the longer they kind of play with county, the better. And I just think the whole thing is happening like definitely a month too early.
I think everything with the GA is like a tick box. You know, Fitzgibbon, they want to get it run. Same with the league, just want to get it run. And I think, you know, they have to make more time, especially for the younger guys. Like a lot of these minor guys, they're not going to be interfering with senior teams. You know, let them play simultaneously as the senior championship goes on. You know, I suppose there is a bit of an overlap with the under-20s, which, you know, probably creates some difficulty scheduling-wise, but definitely the minors could run along. And you're going to games in the past where you're going to a senior game and a minor game on before, you know, and it created great interest. And I think it was great for these younger guys to play in front of big crowds. And I know that's part of the reason they pulled it is because obviously the pressure on younger guys, and I suppose they're a year younger now, but I think any of them young guys would thrive on it. You know, I think if you give them a choice, they'd rather be playing in Semple Stadium, Páirc Uí on the big days.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you there. And I was involved with a couple of underage teams. And it's, what I felt was nobody asked the players. It was a decision made by adults saying, oh, you know, the players, it's not good for them. I don't know. Like, I think the players loved it. And obviously, like, they get four games in a round robin. So if you're really nervous on day one, by the time you're getting to day two or three, they're getting used to it. And like in a way, like, that prepares them for adult hurling coming later. And I don't think there's much difference between it. Like, so you said, oh, they're 17, it's a year younger. And but, like, it's only a year. What difference really is there between a 17-year-old and an 18-year-old? Like, how do we know an 18-year-old can handle it much better mentally than a 17-year-old? So I think all the players wanted to play. They loved the, you know, having the curtain raiser for the senior games. And there are actually some great games as well down here. I remember Clare and Limerick had some cracking games in minor championship as curtain raisers. So, yeah, I think it's a pity. And to put it on, like, even this evening, 6 o'clock up in Ennis on a, you know, a weeknight, like, it's just hard for people to get to. And you end up with smaller crowds as well.
There was only 1,500 in Ennis tonight, so yeah. On the reporter, yeah.
And, like, that would be a game, you know, that if that was on a Saturday evening in May, like, you'd get, or as a curtain raiser, like, you would get a big crowd into it.
No, I'd agree with you there. I think some great points there. I definitely think on the scheduling part of it, you know, particularly player welfare, particularly on those minors, you know, aggressive school schedules here, training all over Christmas into the new year, and then slap bang in the middle of a minor hurling championship, conscious of the weather here, the underfoot conditions. I just hope there's no serious injuries coming from these underage players, you know, because it's very liable with the weather that's promised this week. Like, so, no, I think some great points you've raised here, guys. But I mean,
it's also, Mark, it's very tough on the older guys again, like under 20s who are mixing probably freshers or Fitzgibbon hurling with the league, with the county team, and then, you know, now having to face the, you know, between playing under 20 championship and senior if they're good enough. So it's talk about player welfare. There isn't much player welfare there between, you know, obviously between the months of, you know, your name between January and into May, you know, where they're clashing tournaments, like, so, you know, it's, they're not too concerned there. It's kind of a bit of I'm sure there's arguments for and against, but I just think they could be, definitely the minor could be pushed on later in the year. I know the 20s is a bit harder to schedule, but I think there's different ways they could go about or try, you know, experiment different ways.
As you were saying, have a gap between the whole colleges hurling and maybe if you put it a month later than it is under 20, like, it's up to teams that manage their players well, then will give them that break for four weeks, the guys involved, get them recharged, because it is a slog, like, and especially it's just, they're doing all the heavy work when the pitches are at their heaviest as well. Like, if they're playing middle of the summer, like, you could easily get two or three games under your belt between club and whatever, because, like, all you'd be doing is games in. But at the minute, like, you're putting the busiest workload on players at the worst time for injuries and so on,
and the worst time for hurling. Like, hurling is a game played top of the ground, you know. Exactly. we're not going to get to see the best of these games this time of year.
No, absolutely super points there, because what we didn't forget to mention here was the Leinster Senior Ireland Championship. There's also Tier 2. So in round one, Carlow defeated Kerry narrowly, 116-210. Kerry gave a very good account of themselves. And Meath and Westmeath drew 20 points to 214 last weekend as well. Great fight back from Meath there when they were 8 points down. I suppose this weekend in the Tier 2 round two, Leinster Hurling Championship under 20, Meath entertained Derry in Park Tailteann, and while Kerry travel to Hawkfield to play Kildare. So look, we'll have more reaction on them next week. I suppose, guys, we'll leave it there. Been a good episode tonight. Many thanks for your views. Enjoy the games over the weekend, and we'll chat next week.
Cheers, Mark.
Cheers, Mark. See ya.
Thank you for listening to this podcast episode. If you liked what you heard in this podcast, why not subscribe to the Hawkeye Psychic podcast on either Amazon, Spotify, YouTube, or Twitter platforms. You can also follow me at Hawkeye Psychic on Facebook and Twitter for the latest sporting opinions, articles, and reports.